complaint filed by Brooks Imperial regarding alleged campaign and political finance violations by Elbert County Development Council, Inc. Why don't I get the parties to identify themselves for the record?
I'm Brooks Imperial. I live at 12300 County Road 118, Kiowa, Colorado, 80117, resident of Elbert County.
Okay.
Charles Grosbeck, County Road 132, Elizabeth, Colorado.
Okay.
I'm representing the ECDC Economic, Elbert County Economic Development Council.
Okay.
I'm allowed to do that according to the material you sent out because I'm an officer of it, as I understand it.
And ECDC is a nonprofit organization,
correct.
Is that right? Okay. I hope that both parties got the most recent facts that went out Friday. Mr. Imperial, you're nodding your head, which of course
yes.
Doesn't get picked up on our recording, so. In that, I did send out, because Mr. Brooks because Mr. Grosbeck had raised that issue in his most recent filing, I did send out the 13-1-127 statutory site about the exception for certain closely held entities being represented by non-attorneys. It seems to me, based upon Mr. Grosbeck's representation, and given the fact that there is no specific amount in dispute here, the statute says under $10,000 is the amount in this, that is the cutoff point. It appears to me that Mr. Grosbeck satisfies the provisions of 13-1-127-2 and 2.3, which specifically says that an officer of a non-profit organization, among other things, is presumed to have authority upon evidence of his status. And his evidence is oral to me, but I think that's sufficient. Do you have anything you want to add to that, Mr.
The statute is seems like a little specific, and it allows for the production of that evidence in terms of board meeting minutes, periodic board meeting minutes, evidence of elections within the organization, some record keeping of the organization, and I haven't seen any of that. I'd like to reserve any comment about that until later, if I may, because the ECDC status and Charles's status within the ECDC are issues that are before the court here, and I don't think we should foreclose discussion of that if it comes to that.
Mr. Grosbeck, do you have anything in writing available that you could provide about your status as an officer?
No, I didn't. I expected that the plaintiff would proceed upon the pleading that he has presented to the court.
Okay. Well, this is what I'm going to do at this point. I'm satisfied that Mr. Grosbeck, for the purposes of his being able to represent ECDC at this point, I am satisfied that he has met the requirements of 13-1-127. If there are issues concerning his status that you want to raise as part of your case, that's fine. Okay?
Thanks.
All right. So, going to allow Mr. Grosbeck to represent ECDC. For the purpose of this proceeding only. And the next thing that we need to do, I've indicated that I faxed out an order on Friday, I think that was the same order that denied summary judgment on the basis that, based upon the information before me at that point, I did not feel, I felt that there was a genuine issue of material fact as to whether or not ECDC is a covered entity. So the request for summary judgment was denied. So that gets us to the procedures this morning. This matter is filed by Mr. Imperial under the Fair Campaign Practices Act and Article 28 of the Colorado Constitution, alleging improper expenditures or contributions by ECDC in the course of an election. The complainant under the statute and the Constitution bears the burden of proof in this matter to establish the alleged violation of Section 145.117, which is the section that Mr. Imperial has alleged. So the way this goes is we conduct a hearing. You get to put on evidence, Mr. Imperial. If you present oral testimony, Mr. Grosbeck will have an opportunity to ask questions of you, to do cross-examination. If you present documentary evidence, he will have the option to ask questions about that as well. When you have finished putting on your evidence, then Mr. Grosbeck will have an opportunity to testify, should he choose to, and offer documents and evidence, and then Mr. Imperial, you will have an opportunity to ask questions on cross-examination of Mr. Grosbeck. At that point, both sides have the right to make objections to testimony and exhibits. If you have an objection, please let me know what it is. I'll allow the other side to respond, and then I'll tell you how I rule. When we have completed all the evidence in this case, the next step is I issue a final agency order in this case, and that has to be done in 15 days. So an order will go out to the parties within 15 days. Any questions about the procedure?
No.
Okay.
I do have one question. Sorry. In my complaint and in my request for summary judgment, I laid out a number of items of evidence that were pulled from public records in Elbert County. Do I need to review all of those items in this proceeding?
Good. I'm glad you asked that question because I failed to cover that. Yeah, you need to, anything that you want in evidence, even if it's in my file, you need to offer it into evidence, and then we give Mr. Grosbeck an opportunity to review it and make any objections or that he has, and then I'll make a ruling on that. So even though it's already in my file, it is not actually part of the evidentiary record at the hearing at this point and needs to be re-altered.
In my pleadings, I guess, I have extracts from the, like for example, the Elbert County Board of Commissioners meeting minutes that I pulled from their website. I don't have the entire minutes documents printed out. Is it sufficient to just read these excerpts that I've got and indicate what meeting they're from?
What I can tell you is you can proceed the way you want, and Mr. Grosbeck can make any objections he wishes to, and then I'll move on it. So I don't think I can give you specific advice about what is sufficient evidence and what is not sufficient evidence.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I have them on my computer. I could, you know, if we want to hook that up, I could print them out for the court if you want to have that.
Let's see what develops as to whether that's needed or not.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? I will allow each side to make a brief opening statement. Purpose of opening statement is just to let me know what you believe you're going to be able to prove in this matter. It is not itself evidence, and anything you say by way of opening statement, you're going to have to repeat under oath if you want me to consider it as evidence. But if you wish to make a brief opening statement setting out what you believe you can prove, you may, if you feel that it's unnecessary since it's just the two of you here and there are no attorneys, you don't have to. I won't hold it against you either way. But but I did want to give you that opportunity. Do you wish to make an opening statement, Mr. Imperial?
If Charles wants to, I will. Otherwise, we can go right to the evidence.
Okay.
I'm satisfied to proceed, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. Then we'll go ahead and get started without opening statements. Mr. Imperial, do you wish to testify on this matter?
To present this evidence, does it require that I testify?
Yes.
Then I do.
Yes. Okay. Why don't you bring your material up to the witness stand? Grossbeck, if you have no objection to Mr. Imperial just saying...
I have no objections.
Then it may be easier for you, but what I'd like you to do is take that mic and bring it closer.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Then you can stay where you are, but we'll ask you to stand up. Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury to tell the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Right. Okay. State your name.
Brooks Imperial. Yes.
Alright. And you indicated that you're a resident of Elbert County.
Yes.
What would you like to tell us?
Do I need to restate the content of my complaint for the court? I mean, in terms of the summary of the complaint? Okay, I'll go ahead and restate that. The Elbert County Development Council, an entity serving in a government capacity and a recipient of public money, illegally influenced the 2007 election for the 1B referred tax measure in Elbert County, causing it to pass. And I'll go ahead and review the evidence that I've submitted to the court in my pleadings that I believe to be relevant to this claim. Your Honor, do I need to review the statutes and the Colorado Constitution laws that I believe have been offended here, or?
Why don't you go ahead and tell us what you believe is the violation?
Legal advice.
Okay.
That was an objection?
No, that was, I said, you may not give him legal advice.
That's
seems
true.
Seems to be what he's asking for.
Well,
but I think what he's asking for is procedural advice, and I will be willing to give procedural advice to both of you, no legal advice to either of you, okay? And so his question was basically, need he repeat what's in his already written complaint? And yes, let's get, perhaps what we need to do is offer some of these documents into evidence, and then I think it would be helpful for you to summarize what your complaint is, including the legal underpinning of it, and then go through each of the documents and offer each of the documents as you talk about them.
Okay.
Okay?
Can I give you these documents after I'm through reading from them?
I mean, to the extent you have already filed them, I am willing to mark what I've got in my file.
Great.
Unless you have extra copies. If you have extra copies, that would be easier.
I don't. I just have these.
Okay.
So.
Well, then
sorry.
I will mark what I've got, as long as we're sure that Mr. Grossbeck also has them.
Yes, I
do. Okay, so let's go through them. We're starting with your original filing with,
yes,
with the Secretary of State, is that right?
Yes.
Do you wish to offer that complaint, all those documents into evidence?
Yes, I do.
Okay, why don't we mark that as Exhibit 1, which is the Secretary of State complaint and supporting documentation. All right, why don't you go through and summarize what's in there or give us a brief explanation of what those various documents are, and then see whether Mr. Grossbeck has any objections to any part of it.
Okay. This is just the complaint to start, right?
Right.
Okay. The relevant law is Colorado Revised Statutes 1-45-117, sections 1A-I and 1A-C that prohibit a government entity from expending public money in support or against a referred measure in an election. And it's my understanding that that statute is enforced by the Colorado Constitution, Section 9, by the Secretary of State through the administrative law judge, Section 9-2A, that is, and that the administrative law judge, if the court determines that such a violation has occurred, may order any appropriate order, I'm quoting now, any appropriate order, sanction, or relief authorized by this article. I don't know what the full powers of the court are for relief. The requested relief was that I have the election set aside.
Let me just so that we're really clear, really early, I don't have that authority, okay? There's a specific statutory provision that says, a provision of the Constitution that says that, okay? So just so you know, it's in Section 10, I believe. Paragraph 3. Failure to comply with the provisions of this article shall have no effect on the validity of any election.
Okay.
So I don't have that.
Your Honor, I request then that the hearing be dismissed because that is the sole reason for the plaintiff's complaint.
Mr. Brooks, do you have any other, is there any other relief you're seeking?
Well, Your Honor, in previous cases before the Secretary of State of this nature, there have been fines levied upon parties for violation of the FCPA, the Fair Campaign Practices Act. So I would leave it to the court's discretion whether you want to try to enforce fair elections in Elbert County or just let them get a pass on this deal.
Okay, so you're not withdrawing your complaint because I can't invalidate the election. You're asking for fines.
It's up to the court. If you think the election process in Elbert County is worth defending, the integrity of that process is worth defending, then I'll be glad to go forward. If this is narrowly, to be decided purely on whether or not you can set aside an election, then there isn't much point.
Okay. This is your complaint, Mr. Imperial, so
right.
I need to know from you, do you wish to proceed today, knowing that I can't invalidate the election?
Well, I mean, my whole point in putting all this work into this is to defend the integrity of the electoral process in Elbert County.
So the answer is yes. You want to proceed, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, good. We'll go ahead. Okay, so the request to dismiss is denied because Mr. Imperial has indicated he wishes to proceed and seek appropriate sanctions short of invalidation.
Proceed.
Please do.
It would help if I placed my discussion of the complaint and the request for summary judgment in a little more context that I subsequently discovered to the writing of these documents.
Okay.
May I go ahead and overlay that with what I'm producing out of these documents?
Sure. I think what I need to do first, though, we've got you've offered Exhibit 1 in evidence.
Right.
Right. We haven't ruled on that yet because you haven't gone through it to
okay.
describe what's in it.
Okay.
So why don't we get that out of the way
okay.
first?
All right.
Okay. So the first page is just your actual complaint.
Right. And then the governing law, which
okay.
we discussed. And then I proceed with recognition that one of the key questions of fact to be determined here is the status of the Elbert County Development Council or Economic Development Council. It's a little ambiguous. They call themselves by different names depending on the circumstances over time. But But it's the same group. So I presented evidence showing the first page of their articles of incorporation, their registration with the Secretary of State as a nonprofit in good standing. I produced evidence that John Metley, who is Commissioner of District 3 in Elbert County, and who will later be seen to have participated.
Just a minute, Your Honor. I would like to point out that he is sliding over the fact that the Elbert County Development Council is a 501c6, which contradicts his affirmation that ECDC is a government council.
Okay.
These two things are antithetical.
Okay. Well, right now, what we're doing...
I can respond to that.
But I don't want you to yet.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, that does clear seem to be the issue in the case. But right now, all that Mr. Imperial is doing is offering Exhibit 1 and describing for us what's in Exhibit 1. Okay?
Thank you.
So, why don't we get there?
Okay.
Let's finish that.
Okay.
Okay, so the next thing you said is that you indicated that...
Well, actually...
you're talking about Mr. Metley.
Yes, Mr. Metley, who will later to be seen to have been instrumental in the establishment of this version of the ECDC. The ECDCs have multiple lives in Elbert County. Back in 2001, so I just wanted to introduce him. Then I excerpted the U.S. tax code that discusses 501c6s, what types of organizations they are. And with the relevant point there being that there's nothing in the tax definition of 501c6 that precludes it being a government entity. And then I proceeded to excerpt Elbert County Commissioner meeting minutes from the Elbert County, www.elbertcounty/co.gov website for various commissioners' meetings from 2004, and then one from 2007. The dates are March 17th, 2004, April 14th, 2004, August 25th, 2004, September 29th, 2004, October 20th, 2004, December 15th, 2004, and January 3rd, 2007. And in all of these commissioners' meetings, the Economic Development Council was a topic before the commission. There were discussions back and forth, decisions made, requests made. Sometimes the ECDC was represented by Mr. Grossbeck, sometimes by Mr. Van Sands. So I included... Did you want to say something, Charles?
Mm-hmm. Your Honor, I object. What is being presented here is a redacted, exegetical summary developed by the plaintiff in order to promote his particular point of view of this. We are not given any precise quotes. We simply have him selecting and commenting upon a record. If this is going to be presented as evidence, it needs to be presented as a certified transcription by the county clerk. Thank you.
May I respond to that, Your Honor?
Yes.
These are verbatim complete excerpts of the relevant sections underneath the Economic Development Council headings within those minutes. That's why I included the web address with each one of these for verification. But these are the complete content of the minutes, of the official minutes of the BOCC, Board of County Commissioners. So I have not excerpted or redacted anything within these sections.
Excerpt and redacted simply means you've selected them.
Well, but it's the complete sections in each case.
No, they aren't complete sections. Furthermore, I seriously question that they are quotes because, as you recognize, I was a principal in many of these meetings, and I simply do not recognize the verbiage as fact.
Well, I'm sorry, go on.
The issue is not whether the minutes accurately reflect the meetings, but whether these excerpts accurately reflect the minutes. Are you asserting that these are not accurate copies of the minutes?
I assert that the selection of them inaccurately portrays the content of the meeting.
Is it your assertion that there are additional minutes for each of these meetings concerning these issues that are not presented here?
Correct.
All right, now, and what leads you to believe that, Mr. Grosbeck?
Well, the simplest one might be to go to the plaintiff's page 7 of 11, Economic Development Council, 14th of April, where we have the Elbert County Development Council requested that the commissioners have the county departments support commercial growth and that the negative attitude from some county departments must stop. As this was presented by myself and Van Zandt, it was presented precisely to demonstrate that the former planning director had consistently turned away prospective businesses and so on, and our motivation, these words were used in more polite ways than I'm going to use them now. We wanted to get the man fired because he was inhibiting our progress to get commercial and economic growth to come to Elbert County.
Okay, let me stop you for a moment. The issue, again, is not what occurred at the meeting. All right? The issue is whether or not these excerpts from the meeting are accurate minutes. That's all. In other words, the minutes may have been not reflective in your mind of what actually occurred, but that's not the issue today. The issue is whether or not these minutes, these documents that are represented to be minutes, are accurately representing the minutes.
I understand that.
And you're telling me that it's your understanding that what happened at the meeting is different than what the minutes say, but that's not relevant yet.
I feel that the redaction of them misrepresents the meeting.
Okay. And it looks like Mr. Imperial is able to call up the minutes on his laptop. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
Here's what I suggest we do. I suggest we take a 10-minute break, and one of the two of you go over these minutes based upon what's on the computer and see if you can reach agreement as to what an acceptable excerpt, whether or not this is acceptable, what's been done, and if not, come up with something that is acceptable, and perhaps we can get it printed out and get the entire, whatever you want, as a full.
In that case, Your Honor, I suggest that we go through them all, because as you see, I have gone through and worked on all of these as to what I feel are misrepresentations or unfortunate selections to promote a specific point of view.
All right, I guess I'm now having a little difficulty. Mr. Grosbeck, you have the right to offer additional minutes if you feel that what's been offered
I don't have
it's
that.
Not complete.
I don't have that capability. And also, as I understood it, all I needed to do was respond to the complaint as was submitted.
Right.
And the complaint as submitted, I believe, is inadequate as evidence.
Okay, we're not reviewing. This case does not involve a review of what was filed with the Secretary of State. This is a proceeding wherein we deal with whether or not the allegation in the complaint filed with the Secretary of State can be proved or not. Okay? So Mr. Imperial is allowed to offer additional evidence beyond that which he filed with the Secretary of State. Okay? But what I'm saying here is if there's a dispute about whether or not the minutes that Mr. Imperial is offering are complete, I want to give the two of you an opportunity to review that now and see what you can come up with.
I withdraw my objection because I believe that it's become immaterial. I can speak to these issues as they have been presented.
Okay. All right.
Your Honor, if I could offer a compromise, I'd be glad to email you the complete minutes for each of these meetings and offer the entire minutes from those meetings as evidence, and then there wouldn't be this issue of trying to interpret them.
Okay. Mr. Grosbeck, do you have any comment about that? Would you prefer that?
I think it's irrelevant because I said I withdraw my objection.
Okay. All right, so we then go through the objection, you've got minutes from these various meetings, and then what comes after that?
Well, if I might just briefly categorize those minutes, they are a record of Mr. Grosbeck and Mr. Van Sands. Is it Grosbeck or Grosbeck?
Grosbeck, cut it off and it grows back.
Grows back. Okay, grows back. Grows back?
No, just go on, Grosbeck.
Well, I've always been confused about that. And people spell your name differently every day.
That's not my problem. Go on, Bill.
Okay. These various excerpts, which are the sections under the Economic Development Council, demonstrate an ongoing rapport with the Board of County Commissioners, participation in Board of County Commissioners' decisions, integral unit underneath the Board of County Commissioners. I believe that there's many instances of this, and that it's beyond question that the ECDC operates in conjunction with the BOCC. Now, what the specific relationship is between them, it's murky, and I'm hoping that by looking at the totality of the evidence that the court will be able to come to some conclusion about that, because it is difficult to ascertain. But there are plenty of clues that they have left about, and I think I've gathered up quite a few of them. I guess if we can leave those dates that I've already referenced in the record, what I've included in my complaint are the paragraphs underneath the heading Elbert County Economic Development Council or Economic Development or Economic Development Council, various headings, but they pretty much all mean the same thing.
We've gone through now. We're up to page 9.
Yeah, well, bottom of page 8. Here I shifted in the complaint the evidence to this specific FCPA violation, and I showed the high gloss, an image of the high gloss brochure that I received from the Elbert County Transportation Initiative in the mail, addressed to myself, which is my standing to be here today to make this complaint. And then went on to disclose the Elbert County Transportation Initiative organization as an issue committee with the purpose of supporting the ballot issue 1B and to show...
I'm sorry, where is that?
Oh, that's on page 9.
Now, I've been working on... Oh, I see, page 8.
Okay. Depending on whose copy you had, is page 10 of 11 with me or page 9 of 10 with his?
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, I don't seem to have anything past page 8.
Okay.
Let's see if it shows up someplace else. I hadn't noticed that before.
The evidence in this section is also repeated in the summary judgment, so maybe we can just...
Why don't we just give her a clean copy?
Your page numbers are up on top, and they're pretty well obscured by the way we secured it. Actually, it kind of, let's see, two. Yeah, my last page is 8.
If I may approach?
Yes. Okay. The record should reflect that Mr. Imperial is handing you pages 9 and 10. When we take a break, I'll make a copy because it looks like you ripped it out of your own file. So, okay. So we were up to 9.
9 is the... Secretary of State's record for the Elbert County Transportation Initiative showing the purpose of the organization as support of ballot issue 1B. So it is a one-sided issue, commissioning in favor of the ballot issue. And then the another record from the SOS website detailing the contribution from the ECDC on October 22nd, 2007. ECDC PO Box 432, Kiowa, Colorado 80117, which is the registered agent's address for the ECDC. Of $100. The last item of evidence in the complaint was the unofficial election results from the Elbert County website as of November 6th, 2007, showing that 1B to be the winner by with a count of 2904 and 2694 votes against. The vote margin was 210, which was basically 105. Swing votes. So point of putting that out there was that clearly this was a very marginal victory, and due to the marginal nature of the victory, you can safely conclude, I believe, that the ECTI, Elbert County Transportation Initiative advertising campaign was successful. Had it not occurred, I doubt the issue would have passed. It's a tough problem because you can't unwind an election. However, I think we have clear tampering with this election.
All right, let's stop for a moment. You're offering Exhibit 1.
May I ask the plaintiff to comment upon his syntax? Elbert County Transportation Initiative flyers only needed to cause 105 voters to change their vote to carry the election. I don't understand what he means to imply there. It is an incomprehensible statement referring to an election, from my observation.
Well, if I could respond, that is the margin of victory, and ultimately 105 marginal voters determined the issue.
Okay, we'll take it as that. I understand that you're objecting to you're concerned about the word change.
It's ridiculous. May I continue to comment that, I'm sorry.
I wanna just try to do this the way the procedure ought to work, okay? So what we're doing right now is Mr. Imperial has offered Exhibit 1. Do you have any objection to Exhibit 1? I'm going to give you plenty of opportunity to comment on it and give me your position on this case when it's your turn to testify, but right now, really all we're doing is trying to figure out whether there's any objection to Exhibit 1.
What I was trying to elicit there is, I know what he meant by 105 voters to change their vote, because all previous elections concerning tax issues in Elbert County have been defeated by 75 or more percent.
And I'd like to object.
So that this is a sea change in terms, it is not a small win, it is a sea change in terms of the political climate.
Okay. You know, this is all very interesting, but actually it's not relevant to the issue before me, which is whether or not there was a contribution or expenditure that violated the act, not whether or not it had any impact. It really, for the limited legal issue that I have to deal with, it doesn't really matter. So we probably oughtn't to be spending a lot of time on that. I understand that it's important to you people, but it's really not relevant on this issue, on the issue that I have to decide. Right. Given that, is there any objection to Exhibit 1?
No.
Okay. Exhibit 1 is admitted. What else would you like to tell us? Are there any other documents that you wish to offer into evidence?
Yes, Your Honor. My request for summary judgment contains a number of evidentiary references that need to be in evidence. So I'll go ahead and review those now, if it's okay. If we could mark this Exhibit 2, I guess, and I'll offer the entire summary judgment document as Exhibit 2. I have 26 pages.
I'm thinking we ought to do these in. Okay, all right, we'll just do it that way. We'll mark it as Exhibit 2.
Okay, on page 2, pages 2 through 3, I have an outline of the evidence, so I'll just go ahead and read through that. Item number 1 in Exhibit 2 is Secretary of State document 200111-22543 of June 19, 2007, showing the Articles of Incorporation of Elbert County Development Council. The reason I provided this evidence was to show the date of that the ECDC was established, June 19, 2007. I believe that's that's the date the date I got from the website. The actual date of the document is June 19th, 2001, and I see a typo right here in my summary judgment. So that should be June 19th, 2001. Let me back up. That's not the date I got it from the website. Let's see if that's on here. No, it's not. But it is a current copy of the Articles of Incorporation of the ECDC. And they were filed originally with the Secretary of State June 19th, 2001. That date corresponds with a later date where you'll see the ECDC first shows up in the BOCC minutes. Second item is the June 21st, 2001 Elbert County Commissioner meeting minutes. This is a reference where the board, quote, the board agreed that they will review the agreement with the county attorney and that the Economic Development Council will sign this agreement. This is the first reference I found of the Economic Development Council in 2001, it indicates that there is some relationship with the BOCC and the ECDC, a relationship that appears to include some direction in terms of signing a contract. Then the following week, June 27, we have another reference to the ECDC out of a commissioner meeting minutes, June 27, 2001, basically.
These are all the same minutes that were attached to the complaint, or are there additional ones?
These are different. See, these are minutes that were not available on the website, and I had to go down to the courthouse and actually go through paper documents and photograph them. And those photographs of these minutes, including the county registration for these documents, the recording office paper identification of where these documents are registered, have all been repeated here. So these are actually picture image copies of these various minutes excerpts. There's been no redaction, no interpretation. It's just a picture image of the recording stamp and the minutes content.
Okay, go ahead.
So on June 27th, ECDC accepted a proposal from VanderWaal & Associates and would like the Board of Commissioners to release funds to cover the cost. Commissioner Metley will discuss this matter with Treasurer Susie Graves. I think that speaks for itself. On August 29th, 2001, Commissioners meeting minutes, Commissioner Metley, quote, Commissioner Metley discussed no charge to VanderWaal & Associates for this information since the Economic Development Council has signed a contract with them to provide services for economic development in Elwood County, and they would only add this expense to their services or a minimum charge. It's a little unclear just what the agreement is between the county and the ECDC, but there apparently is an agreement that Mr. Metley is aware of that perhaps discusses some sharing of the performance by VanderWaal & Associates. We can certainly explore this later if it's relevant to the court, but this is all that showed up in the minutes. Then there's another reference further down. Commissioner,
can you clarify one thing, Your Honor? I've lost track because it's sometimes hard for me to understand. Does this refer to Laura Forbes and the mapping department issue that you bring up?
Well, Mr. Crispy, I don't have the background on this. All I have is what's available in the public record, and that's what I've shown.
You have the public record in this concerning that. Is this what you're talking about?
Once again, I don't have an answer to your question. I could show you is what I've recovered from the minutes.
When I go through it, I will point out that he's talking about something else that he's referring to here.
Okay.
From that same meeting, later we have Commissioner Metley made a motion that the county treasurer take the money that we reappropriated out of the Economic Development Fund last week of $10,000 to have Susie put it into the general fund for disbursement to the Economic Development Council. Commissioner Paulson seconded the motion. The roll having been called, chairman declared the motion unanimously carried and so ordered. So I believe.
You know what? I need you, Mr. Kerr, to slow down, even though we don't have a court reporter here. If somebody ever wanted to transcribe this, they would have a difficult time following you. So
okay.
Slow down a bit.
Did you want me to repeat that slower?
I think we're okay so far, but just, yeah, it was kind of getting faster and faster.
Yeah, I've never done this before, and I've had like 5 cups of coffee, so I'm a little keyed up. I apologize.
That's okay.
After that excerpt, August 29th, after those two excerpts from August 29th, 2001, I go to the Colorado Secretary of State website and show that the ECDC has existed since 2001 through to the present in its current form, basically with the same articles and the same mission, and also showing Sherry Metley as the current registrant, who is the commissioner's wife, of the ECDC. Next, to shift gears to the issue of the FCPA. No, I'm sorry, that's not true. For the actual the FCPA infraction. On July 25th, 2007, we have a Charles Grosbeek and Tim Sheridan before the board to request the commissioners adopt a resolution to place a 1% sales tax and 1% use tax on the ballot for the November 2007 election. This is quoting, the sales and use tax would go to the Road and Bridge Fund for maintenance of roads, paving, and building new roads. Charles Grosbeek, now this is my own verbiage, Charles Grosbeek is a director of the ECDC Government Council, what I believe to be a government council, and Tim Sheridan is head of the similar division of the Elbert County Road and Bridge Department. Commissioner Mettley made a motion to place the tax on the ballot. This motion was unanimously carried and so ordered. In the commissioner meeting minutes, this excerpt came under the heading Citizens for Responsible Government. Now, I haven't been able to find any registration for Citizens for Responsible Government. There's no active or no terminated issue committee present at the Secretary of State's website to describe this group.
May I point out, Your Honor, that no individual group must register with the Department of State until it receives monies.
Given Charles's, if I may respond to that, given Charles's, Mr. Grosbeak's history of representations before the county commissioners, completely underneath the aegis of the ECDC, suspect that this new group should surface for just this purpose, particularly since later on in the process, the contribution to the ECTI was actually made in the name of the ECDC. So that's weird. Moving on, I include evidence of the flyers, both flyers, as well as the newspaper advertisements that were all produced by the ECTI. And then the reports of contributions from the various benefactors for the ECTI. Notably, you might want to look at that list because they are, in many cases, large interested parties who currently do business with the county, who stand to profit directly from passage of this measure. For example, the A1 chip seal, as recently as September 2007, had received a payment of $192,375 from Elbert County. So, to put it in layman's terms, buying this initiative was a good investment for them, high return. And that pretty much summarizes the evidence in the summary judgment request. Some of these things could be explored further. They are anecdotal, and you know, the ECDC isn't a real visible organization, so it's hard to get the full story on what they're up to. We have no records of their cash flow, of their interorganizational activities. We don't know which groups they've talked to, what they do as individuals, what they do as the ECDC, when they're talking to organizations like the Colorado Asphalt Pavement Association or A1 Chip Seal or other large benefactors for the ECTI. Those are all questions that are not clear at this point. The court could certainly go into those if you want to further explore the nature of the ECDC and
okay,
what went on.
Let me make it really clear, Mr. Imperial, this is your case, not my case.
Okay.
Okay. You make the decisions about what you want to offer. Okay? That's the way it works. But let me, you have offered Exhibit 2. Is there any objection to Exhibit 2?
No.
Okay. Exhibit 2 is admitted.
Those are all the exhibits that I have in terms of hard evidence
okay.
at this point in time.
All right. Any further testimony you'd like to give?
On the issue of the 501c6 tax status, the not-for-profit or non-profit status of the ECDC.
If this is new material, may I receive a copy of what he's reading?
Sure.
Would you like a copy?
Yeah.
I don't know if I was going to read it verbatim, but yeah, well, now.
Okay, now this is your statement, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Fine, you may go ahead and read it.
Okay. since I've already identified myself, I'll leave that part out. The evidence I have provided today in my complaint and in my request for summary judgment prove that the Elbert County Development Council, ECDC, is a government council. The evidence I presented showed the ECDC, number one, was established under the direction of the Elbert County Board of County Commissioners, also known as the BOCC, in June of 2001. It was funded by the BOCC with public money on at least one occasion. It's under the continuing direction of a commissioner's spouse and regularly participates in public decision making with the BOCC. Other than casting aspersions and denials, this evidence has not been refuted. In the order denying request for summary judgment and procedural order, the ALJ cited the 501c6 not-for-profit tax status of the ECDC. The ECDC also points to their nonprofit status as dispositive on the issue of whether it is a government council. Nonprofit tax status does not preclude governmental status. For example, the Prairie Development Corporation, PDC, is also a registered nonprofit corporation in Colorado. It is a division of the East Central Council of Governments, ECCOG. On its website, ECCOG, or ECOG, claims it is, quote, not another layer of government, and that it, quote, has no taxing authority, close quote. Yet, ECOG is directed entirely by county and municipal elected officials. ECOG, the PDC, and its transportation division, the Outback Express, are conduits for federal, state, and local public money and public spending in Elbert and neighboring counties. The thin veneer of nonprofit tax status does not change the real nature of these government agencies. But for the participation, direction, and funding from governments, they would not exist. And I believe the same is true of the ECDC. The elements of a Fair Campaign Practices Act violation to be proven, and I pulled these from agency decision for the case OS 2006-0023, are, number one, that the ECDC is a government council under the BOCC, number two, which expended public monies, number three, to urge electors to vote for issue 1B, number four, which had been submitted for the purpose of having a title designated or fixed, or which had a title designated or fixed. And the remaining three elements of this case are not in question today. If the court would like me to explore those, I could certainly be willing to go into that as well. And that concludes my remarks.
Waive the opportunity to present that case.
Okay. So you want to say who you are as well, right?
Sure.
Okay. Could you raise your right hand? Stand up and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury to tell the truth in this proceeding?
Yes, I do.
Be seated, please.
May I approach this, the court?
Yes.
This will help with my marking to see where I am going.
Okay. The record should reflect that Mr. Grosbeek has handed me a packet of documents and Mr. Imperial, he's handed a packet to Mr. Imperial as well.
Respondent's exhibit number one.
Okay. I was just going to say it looks like something already in it. Mr. Imperial, has it handed me exhibits one and two?
Yeah, I had.
I'm gonna give you back your 10-10.
Okay.
No.
We're good. Okay, so state your name.
My name is Charles Grosbeck, County Road 132, Elizabeth, Colorado, representing the Elbert County Development Council, and obviously myself, since I am named 11 times in the complaint.
And will you please spell your name?
Grosbeck. I apologize, by the way, for my typed copy misspelling your name.
Oh, I didn't know this.
We left out the C.
Okay.
But as you recognize from my previous submissions, I don't have access to a computer.
Okay.
Charles, Grosbeck. G-R-O-E-S, B as in boy, easy, easy king. There should be three E's.
Okay. Well, you pronounce it Beck.
Grosbeck.
Okay.
It's a Dutch name meaning stony brook.
Okay.
Well, as you know from my previous submissions, we believe that this complaint is both specious and frivolous. And I'll dispense with that since it's been submitted already, and I would like to respond to plaintiff's exhibit number one, which I have marked up as respondent's exhibit number one.
Okay, but let's do this. Let's call it respondent A in that way.
Oh, okay, thank you.
We'll be able to keep them separate. All right. And so you're offering exhibit A into evidence, and then you're going to testify about it?
Yes, I'm going to comment upon it.
Okay, any objection to that approach?
That's fine.
Okay, so we're going to omit Exhibit A.
Now, before I go into those specifics, I would like to point out that consistently within the plaintiff's presentation, he used words like, there is some relationship. This relationship is unclear. The relationship is murky. There appears to entail and so on. No definite statement was ever made in the complainant's presentation that something did occur or can be defined between ECDC and the Board of County Commissioners. Now, I have this color-coded here, in that the reds are red alert, in that I feel that these are false or misrepresenting statements. The yellow is simply an alert as to what's this about, or to point out that certain issues may be important, or to circle dates and or the use of my name. The green seems to or does represent most accurately what I understand occurred at these particular meetings, and so on.
Okay.
The details of the complaint, the plaintiff asserts that Elbert County Council is serving as in a government capacity and a recipient of public monies. I categorically deny both of these statements. Very clear that ECDC is a 501c3. However, the difference between ECDC and the ECCOG, the claims thing, was specifically developed from a governing institution, works with governing institutions, and ECDC does not have that relationship whatsoever. I find it curious that an accusation the plaintiff is willing to stand forth as inviolate and defend himself against perjury and perjury indictment. This seems to me that the whole statement is an uncounseled and facetious kind of thing which permeates. makes the whole statement. Again, we will go now to page 3 of 10. Evidence that ECDC is a government council contemplated by CRS 145117. I see no relation to this whatsoever, and ECDC is not, has never acted, and indeed in any of its murky relationships related by the complainant, never has had any dovetail relationships with the Board of County Commissioners. We are simply a citizens' board working for what we feel to be the common good of our county. Go to page 4 of 10, and I believe that this using of County Commissioner Metley's picture here is just a frivolous innuendo. Yes, County Commissioner Metley's wife is a member of the ECDC. Elbert County is a very small county. There are a handful of movers and shakers. Sometimes we're referred to as the usual suspects who gather to get things done. We are accused of conflicts of interest. We persevere despite harassment, such as this complaint. We all act as individual citizens. I act on a number of boards and in a number of capacities, speaking before the Board of County Commissioners with my age and experience. Whenever my wife says, "Why are you doing it?" I simply say, "Someone's got to do it." That is my motivation completely for being involved in as many things. Now, Chairman Metley at the time did not, and there is no record of him, establishing the Elbert County Development Council. None whatsoever. It is simply an affirmation made in the complaint. I do have, as you know, some, which I withdrew, objection to how these things were selected. When on page 5 of 10,
Mr. Grossbeck, if you wouldn't mind moving that mic a little bit closer to you, since you can't move one side of the table. Thank you.
And page 5 of 10, which reflects my appearance and Manny Sands' appearance on the 17th of March to the Board of County Commissioners. This is normal procedure. We went before the Board of County Commissioners to ask the Board of County Commissioners to adopt a resolution supporting a bioagricultural industrial complex for the I-70 corridor. We were citizens asking the Board of County Commissioners to do something that citizens cannot do. It is a normal function of responsible citizenship going on. Next, the 14th of April, toward the bottom of the page, the Elbert County Development Council came before the board to request that the Board of County Commissioners send a letter to DOLA, Department of Local Affairs, requesting $150,000 for assistance in developing this BioAg project. This, again, is a normal procedure asking the Board of County Commissioners to do something which ordinary citizens cannot do. ECDC, nor the BioAg Foundation, nor this institution, North American Bioenergy Resources, did not receive 1 cent from DOLA. Why? Because of dysfunctional acts from individuals such as this complaint presented before the court. We go to the Economic Development Council on page 6 of 10. This is, we went before the Board of County Commissioners because we were significantly frustrated.